The reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, what do you talk about at a carol service 3 days after a general election? Not what you think. I'm going to start with a little... it's a kind of quiz, but there's only one question, so it's not a long quiz. And there's a chocolate coin in it for the person who gets the answer right first. Okay, so... I'm going to lift up two figures, and the first person, not including you three, the first person to tell me who these characters are gets, well, you can have three chocolate coins. I've got three. But. Okay, so does anyone recognize these figures? Elsa and Anna. Very good, Naomi. You can have three chocolate coins to be distributed as you wish. You can either eat them all yourself, or you can share them with your friends. Elsa and Anna. Elsa and Anna. So lots of us will remember Elsa and Anna, are they Norwegian? Swedish? Anyway, the two girls who are the heroines of the film Frozen. You probably remember Frozen. It came out about 5-6 years ago, and I don't want them to catch on fire, but we'll... One each side, there we go. They were in that lovely film Frozen from 5 or 6 years ago, and it was on TV a couple of Christmases ago. And then this year, the sequel came out, didn't it? The sequel's just come out about, just under a month ago. And I was there on the opening night. I kid you not, I was there. We went to see it on the first night out. And if you've not seen the film, this talk will contain a few spoilers. So, no, don't block your ears, because I want you to listen. It's very much a film of our day. It's a film of our time. It's got all the concerns of the day in there. There's a big environmental theme in there. One of the last lines is, "Keep looking after the forest." So that's in there. There's also a theme of the guilt of colonialism and how Arendelle's problems, if you know that it's about this little kingdom called Arendelle, Arendelle's problems in the present are linked to all the bad things their forefathers did in the past. So that's in there as well. But above all, it's a film about the search for the true purpose, the true meaning, at the heart of everything. The search for the source of life. What is it that really gives us life? So during the film, the two sisters here, our sister Elsa and Anna, I got that the right way around, I think, they obviously become aware of the spirits, shall we say, of... Here we go, hang on, can I get this pot plant out? Here we go. Earth. There's a bit of earth in there in which our poinsettia is growing. Earth. Here's my windbreak from the summer. Going to the beach, earth and wind, and water, So a jug of water. Water and fire. Let's light another candle. So there's earth, wind, water, fire. So they become aware of these four spirits, if you like, the elements of earth, water, wind, and fire. But really, then they become aware of a fifth spirit, a fifth greater uniting power, if you like, the source behind all things, the thing that animates everything else and gives the earth, the water, the wind, and the fire its strength, if you like. What is this fifth spirit? The whole film is about this deepest, most fundamental source. And off Elsa goes on this quest to find out what is this fifth spirit. And she's, you know, really determined, and she has to go through all these difficulties to get to find out what this fifth spirit is. The heart of everything. So off she goes. And we're left wondering, what is it? What is this thing? What is this thing? And as she gets nearer, she starts singing, "Show yourself! Show yourself! What are you? Show yourself!" And we wonder, what could it be? And she sees, variously, a few different things. First, she sees a kind of picture of her dead mother. And we think, oh, is that the fifth spirit? The spirit of an ancestor who lived in the past, some great ancestor. Could that be the fifth spirit? Could that be? Then she sees the sort of stream of history, the flow of history, of Arendelle's past and what's gone before. And we think, could that be it? This great stream of life and history. Is that the fifth spirit that unites everything? And then right at the end of the film, her sister, Anna, says to her, "It's you, isn't it, Elsa? It's you. You're the fifth spirit, aren't you?" And she doesn't say anything. She just looks at her sister as if to say, maybe I am. Well, that's really where the film ends, on that note. But it raises the kind of question that I think many of us are asking. What is the fifth spirit? What is the deepest, truest source of all life? What is the power behind all the other powers we might see in nature, say? What is the greatest thing? And perhaps we're on that quest to find out what is the truth beneath everything? What is the driving force, the power behind it all, the source of life? And maybe that's a question you've got in your mind. Perhaps that's something you sometimes think about. Perhaps you don't have quite the budget that Hollywood put into, is it Hollywood? It's Disney, isn't it? Probably into a film like Frozen 2. Perhaps you can't invest that sort of resource into it, and your quest isn't quite as dramatic as Elsa's. You're not going to the North Pole or anything to find out, or through the sea. But nonetheless, you kind of want to know, what is it at the heart of everything? And that's where we come to our Christmas story. Because the Christmas story is about how the greatest, the highest, the source of all life really did show himself. The Lord of heaven, the creator of all things, became visible. He showed himself. He showed himself as a baby in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. We read about it. We all read it together as we stood. I'm going to direct your eyes to it again at the bottom of the page, the second page, where we read from John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of us all. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then Christine just read it as well. In Matthew chapter 1, it said in verse 23, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. At Christmas, God showed himself. Now, we might think to ourselves, that's not possible. A baby can't be the source and the power behind everything. He can't be life itself, the giver of life. That can't be right. But just think for a minute about his life. Just think about how he lived. Do you remember how he could walk on water? Do you remember that story? Do you remember how he could speak to the wind and just stop it with a word? Looked like he was in control of that too. He could send the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire, couldn't he? He had all the authority over the fire. He could join people in the Old Testament in flames of fire and not be burned. But I think most touching of all, he could take some earth, couldn't he? Do you remember the story about how he took some earth and he could rub earth in a blind man's eyes and give him his sight? It's pretty amazing. That's the Bible's claim, the Christmas claim, that this baby in a manger, there he is, baby in a manger, is the power behind everything else, showing himself for us all to see. And it's wonderful that he had such loving concern for us, such loving concern and compassion for us. I love that thought that he is the God of highest heaven, but when he comes and uses his life and his power to help and to heal people like us. Maybe this Christmas we might have a prayer of our own to pray. We might have been saying in our hearts, show yourself. And I think at Christmas we might understand that he showed himself to the world. But has he showed himself to us? We might want to pray, Lord, show yourself to me. Not just as an idea, not just as a truth, but the truth for me. Perhaps that could be your prayer this Christmas. Show yourself to me. There are obviously ways in which you can find out more about him and how you can have him show himself to you week by week, not just at Christmas time. And I'd encourage you to come back to church, perhaps, over Christmas, in the new year. Keep looking into the Bible, what it tells you, and he'll show himself to you. Perhaps you're someone who has had Jesus show himself to you before, and you do believe him. But perhaps your prayer might be slightly different. Perhaps you want to be praying this Christmas, show yourself in me. Maybe that could be your prayer. Show yourself, Lord, in me. What we consider to be I'll say fifth spirit, I don't mean that, but I mean the great source, the great power behind all things. What we consider to be that really will shape us and make its mark upon us. If we think that the greatest power of all is in our ancestors, the spirit of our ancestors, say, then our life will very much be about keeping old traditions up, keeping the traditions of our forefathers going, perhaps. If we think that most fundamental power and spirit is the flow of history, then we'll be very committed to the looking after of the universe, I guess, and our part in it, and trying to right the wrongs that have gone on in the past. If we think that we are that great spirit, then I guess we'll feel like we're always in the right, and our opinion is the one that is the only one that matters. And we'll become indignant if people should have a different opinion or cross us in some way. But what if he is? What if he is the great power behind it all? What if he is the fifth spirit, for want of a better word, the source of all life? Then surely his love, his compassion, his goodness, his kindness will flow more and more in us and through us. Wouldn't that be a great prayer to pray if we do know him already? That, Lord, you'll show yourself in me this Christmas and in the years to come.